One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and went with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's have a little context today for this short little passage. The Gospel of Matthew obviously starts with the birth of Jesus, and then we move on a little farther. The family's escape to Egypt when they're fleeing, and then the return to Nazareth. And then we get Jesus traveling down to Judea to see John the Baptist, and then being baptized. And then after his baptism, he goes off into the desert, and he's tempted. And then he goes back to Galilee. This is where his ministry really kicks off. Now, we're used to political campaigns kicking off with big fanfare, you know, and cameras and all kinds of hoopla to go with it. Well, Jesus took a stroll along the shore of a lake. And that's the way he started his ministry. He was just walking along. You can imagine him. It's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's really not a sea. It's just a big lake. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the lowest lakes in the world. It's about 600 feet below sea level. You got the Jordan River coming in, and then the Lake of Galilee, and then the Jordan River going out. So it's basically a big wide spot in the river. I mean, a really big wide spot in the river. And fishing for all of those villages around there was not only a way of life, but it was really a lot of life itself. They depended upon that lake for sustenance. That's the context we're in when Jesus takes a stroll along the beach where there's two guys working. They're fishermen, which we all know by reputation, commercial fishermen are the most upstanding, upright people in the world. And he looks at these two guys and says, "Hey, you want to follow me? I'm going to teach you how to fish for people, not just for fish." When my kids were little, we took a vacation in the mountains of New Mexico up by Ruidoso. And there was a mountain lake up there. It's real beautiful, right? And it really wasn't a lake. It was a lake to the four-year-old, but it was not a lake. It was an oversized pond. And it was a trout farm. And so they had signs on the highway that said, you come and you can fish at the trout farm, and then you can take your fish home and have dinner, right? So we thought that would be great, to take the six-year-old, the five-year-old, and the two-year-old to the trout farm. And it really was fun, because when you drive up to this trout lake, there's a nice gravel parking lot, right? There's a little place you walk through, and you get your pole and your little bait, and then you walk over, and there's actually, you know, there's like a railing so you don't fall in. And so we began to put the stuff on the hooks for the kids and let them throw it in. And I mean, I didn't no more than get the first one in the water. I'm working on the second one. The first one's got a fish on the line. So I'm trying to get, and I'm working between these two. And before I know it, in a matter of seconds, we've got, I don't know, eight fish already on the stringer. And I'm loading up for more when I look at the sign. And it says $3 an inch. I looked down at the stringer and I went, "Oh my, I'm at 50 bucks already." And I said, "Everybody stop, stop." Kids are crying, you know, dad's a bully. But I'm like, we got dinner and more. And this was not exactly the cost-effective way to get dinner that I was planning on. But it was a fun trip. Now, any trout fisherman would tell you that that was not the normal experience for how you catch trout in the river. Any fisherman in the Sea of Galilee would tell you that that's not what life was really like, fishing in that big lake. It was hard work. You'd put your nets out, work for hours on hours, sometimes through the night, and not catch anything. And that wasn't just a bad weekend where you spent at the lake and you tried to catch a fish and you missed out. That meant you didn't have revenue. You didn't have food. It was a bad day. And also there were storms that came up quite suddenly on this lake, and it would made it very difficult to fish. There wasn't a parking lot for your car. There wasn't a railing to keep you from falling in. It was a much more messy environment. It was very, very messy. Jesus said to these two brothers, "Follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people." That is the beginning. That's when the first people began to follow Jesus. You know, if you were a Martian and you dropped out of the sky and you said, "Oh, let me look at this world of 21st century America. I've never seen anything before." And you were told, or you were asked, "How do you think this thing called American Christianity got started?" The first thing that I bet you would think of is a guy that said, "Follow me and I will teach you how to fish for people." Now, if you looked at it today, you might think that the guy said, "Follow me and I will teach you how to build buildings. Follow me and I will teach you how to bring groups of people together for social gatherings. Follow me and I will," maybe instead of teaching you how to fish, "I'll teach you how to make a trout farm. And we can make a pond that's really not messy." We can make a completely controlled environment. And then maybe we can convince ourselves that we're really fishing. You know, being the church today isn't really that different from the day it began when Jesus looked at these two fishermen and said, "Follow me." Because Jesus looks at each and every one of us in this room and says, "Follow me." If Jesus wasn't saying that to you, I really wager, but we're not supposed to do that, I would wager you wouldn't be here today. But each of you is here because in some way, in some fashion, Jesus said, "Follow me." You know, we come together and we do things like worship. We do things like Sunday school, and we do things like prayer meetings and Bible studies in order to nourish ourselves and to lift us up and to encourage us as a body of Christ, as believers, as followers of Jesus. But that's not where the story ends. The story isn't about making us feel encouraged, and it's not just about making us feel good. It's part of it, and it's a very important part of it. But it's not everything. And I think this verse reminds us as a church that being the church today means existing for other people. If you think about it, in reality, the church is really for those who aren't members yet. The church is for those who need Jesus. Jesus didn't say, follow me and learn. He didn't say, follow me and I'll teach you how to sing. He didn't say, follow me, I'll bring you into the best kind of worship and I'll teach you all of those things. He said, no, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. You know, the last few weeks as a congregation, we've been going through the Psalms. And one of the things that I find so encouraging, and hopefully you have picked up from the messages in the last few weeks, is that the message that I see over and over, or hear over and over again in the Psalms, is no matter how we feel, no matter how much the psalmist is hurting, no matter how dark the night, God is there with us. That's the message of the Psalms. And many of us have resonated with the fact that in these dark hours that we feel and struggles that are ongoing, and if you're not struggling now, you know what it feels like to have that moment when you are darkest and saddest and most withdrawn and feel the most abandoned by God. But there's that moment when you realize that God is with you. You're reminded by a friend who gives you a call and says, hey, I've been praying for you. I love you. God's with you. Or you get some random conversation with someone who tells you about a piece of scripture and it was so meaningful to them, and all of a sudden a light comes onto you and says, yes, God is with me. We all resonate with that, and for a lot of us, that's why we're here. We're here because we love God, but we're also here because people around us in this place help us, and they remind us of who God is, because they become, as the song said, they become Christ for us in that moment, at that time. Because that's what being the church is, being Christ for each other. But it's also about being Christ for those who are not here. And I think that we have to remind ourselves from time to time that Jesus called us not to seclude ourselves, but to reach out for different types of bowling pins, for people around us who don't know Christ. Many of you may be uncomfortable with sharing the gospel or sharing how you believe with other people, and that's okay, because every one of you can share love. And when you share love through your heart, God uses that. You know, when you have an environment like that trout farm, that little trout lake, it's easy to catch fish because they're all bred there. They all live there. They don't have anywhere to go. And they do look alike when you pull them out. But when you're out on an open sea or on an open river that's fed, or a lake that's fed by a river, you're going to get a wide variety of people coming through, or fishes coming through. To mess up my own metaphor. You know, in the 21st chapter of John, the story is about the fishermen. They see the risen Christ. He's on the beach. Sorry, I've got excited. They get it. He's on the beach, and they're out on their boats. And he says, throw the net out again, and they throw it out on the other side, and they come to shore. And it's one of the strangest passages of Scripture to me, because they talk about how they found, or they caught all of these fish. And then the Bible numbers them. 153 fish. In the first century, in the Sea of Galilee, they believed that there were 153 different varieties of fish that lived in that lake. I think John was trying to tell us that God's church The thing that we should be fishing for includes all kinds of people. Not just the ones that look like us and think like us and talk like us. And I think that it's important to remind ourselves that the very things that make us want to be together, those moments when someone comes to you and says, "You're my brother. You're my sister. I love you. I support you. I know you're having a rough time. I'm praying for you." I know that each and every one of you come into contact with people every day that don't have that in their lives. And I think for us as God's church, that we have to reorient ourselves, not as builders of pretty ponds, but reorient ourselves to become fishers for people and to cast our nets of love and kindness to all of those around us. Because just like when you're fishing and you throw it out there, you have no idea what's waiting to take that bait. And the Holy Spirit can use each and every one of us to share the life-giving love of Jesus with the world around us. Praise be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.